Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hi, Cecilia.
Hi, Pastor Dave.
How are you doing today?
I am bright and cheerful.
Yay.
How about you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I heard on the news today a story of biblical proportion.
A biblical proportion, all right.
Yep. As you know, here in the Midwest, we're having a lot of rains this spring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is a section, I'll be honest, I missed which town. I think it's a suburb of St. Louis, that they evacuated a bunch of houses because the hill that they're built on, a huge mud chunk had slid down 10 feet.
Wow.
And they were therefore concerned that these other houses that are on the same hillside would also slide down and be unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
So they literally have had to move people out and will probably permanently move them out because, well, their foundations are on...
Muddy ground.
We're going to be talking about something like that, but more serious than a house, we're going to be talking about life here in Room 4216. Let's begin our reading with Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 43. Well, we'll go to the end of the chapter, 43 through 49.
No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundations on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the man who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete.
What do you make of this reading that we just had, Cecilia?
Well, I'm thinking of this reading and of the readings that we had last week.
They do flow together, one to the other, yep,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
And no disrespect to Jesus Christ intended, but we go from judging to forgiving and loving your enemies and the teacher and the student and the blind man leading the blind man, and then
And just in case people don't remember the blind man, that some people get sensitive, a lot of listeners are blind. The point of that was simply that the student isn't greater than the teacher, and so the blind leading the blind is, you're only as good as the one leading you.
Mm-hmm.
So the teacher has to be better than the student. That was what that point was. Okay.
Right. Then we go to bearing fruit. Mm-hmm. And finally, to the builder and Jesus wanting people to listen to him. So we've got a lot put in here. And no disrespect, but it kind of sounds like Jesus Christ is saying, I have so little time and I have so much that I want to teach the people that I need to put it all together into this sermon. while I have the people's attention.
So it's just a lot of little proverbs, you might say.
Kind of like the book of Proverbs itself,
mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In fact, one of the commentaries we looked at even made that recommendation of how to look at it. And there is great value to that. Certainly, there's good advice and counsel and direction and teaching here that we shouldn't judge. We're going to be judged the same way. Therefore, be generous. God will be back generous to you. Listen to Jesus' word. That's the foundation. That's very valid. Don't disagree with it at all.
Okay.
I have an alternative thought or an additional thought to it, however. And it's kind of two or threefold. And you might have to bear with me for half a second. First, remember, the people Jesus is speaking to have always been listening to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were all about externals and your life and how it looks and appears.
Mm, okay.
And so Jesus kind of talks about the externals, but he moves it into the internal. And he even said just before the end there, wasn't it something about the heart?
Yeah. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks.
And if you think back to the other things, it isn't judge not lest you be judged. That does deal with the heart. Don't have a critical spirit. Be generous spirit. Spirit is the word I'm using here now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be cocky and think that you can teach everything, but be humble as a student would be. The fruit comes from what the tree is. So all of it comes from the internal, which is a different teaching than the Pharisees were giving. And with that then comes two thoughts. One, either it's black and white, I'm either lots of fruit or thorns, am I good or am I bad?
Mm-hmm.
Or could it be, Jesus is pointing out, when you look at the heart, you've got some bad stuff there. Thorns are there. And so if you have good fruit, don't forget, you got the thorns. And he burrows down deep into the heart of the matter, excuse the pun, to deal with our hearts, which by nature grow thorns. And that's why Jesus is saying, listen to my words. And his greater teaching, which will also say, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me, trust in me and what I've done on the cross to take away your sins. And that is then another part of the word that Jesus is asking later on that we build on that foundation.
Sir, we are being hailed.
On screen. I'm First Officer William Riker of the USS Enterprise. We're responding to your distress signal.
Uh-huh.
What is your problem?
We are far from home.
Aren't we all? But you sent out a mayday?
Uh-huh.
Do you need help?
We are packlets. Our ship is the Mondor. It is broken. We are far from home. We need help.
Let me guess, their rubber band broke, right?
Sensors indicate engineering problems. They are experiencing total guidance system failure with less than 24 hours reserve power.
Maybe I can help.
What brings you so far from home?
We look for things.
What were you looking for?
Things we need.
Can you be more specific?
Things that make us go. We need help.
What is the nature of your mission?
We look for things.
Did you hear an echo?
Commander, from the looks of their ship, I can have them up and running in no time.
You sure?
Yeah, no problem.
Very well. Our chief engineer will beam over to help you. Close.
Commander? Do we truly need to send our chief engineer over to them?
Obviously, they need our help.
Why do we not simply give them the information they need to make their own repairs?
Do you honestly get the impression they could handle our technical specifications?
We do not know anything about them.
Acknowledge, Mr. Worf. We have an obligation to render aid. Report to the transporter room with all necessary gear.
Aye, sir.
We need more information.
Do you have anything else on them?
They are a relatively benign species.
Don't they seem a little slow?
They may merely have poorly developed language skills.
But what about weapons?
Scanners show limited armaments.
I think we can relax, Mr. Worf. They can't even move their ship without our help. We certainly have them outmanned and outgunned.
Another Star Trek reference?
Well, yeah. People probably know we both like it, but more to the point, my daughter and I just saw this episode a week ago, and it came to mind when thinking of things don't always appear as they are on the inside. Here, these packlets seemed dumb and stupid, benign.
Yeah, I read something. They even look big, clumsy, and
frumpy. And
yeah.
Well, if you watch the whole episode, they actually almost pretty much kidnap Geordi, make him do a bunch of things. They're really devious in their hearts, and they're rather smart.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of flows back to what Jesus was trying to say with this last reading about the heart. Things might appear to be one thing on the outside, but what are they on the inside? A good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And so he's challenging us to really look inside. Not just that we live a good life and we don't kill and we don't swear and we are nice people. Are we trusting in him? Are we looking to him, not just for forgiveness, but for daily life? Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10.
When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus entered with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such a great faith, even in all Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well.
You've probably experienced, Cecilia, going to stores where some, especially these big stores, will have a greeter at the door to welcome
yeah,
you.
Of course.
And if you have any questions, they'll try to answer or direct you to the spot. And these greeters often are people with disabilities or retired people who just want something to do during the day and such. Well, I heard about this one situation where this one gentleman who was hired, he was a retired man, and every day for 2 weeks in a row, he showed up a few minutes late, and the first thing he did was go over and get a cup of coffee before he went over to take a stand and greet people.
Okay. Well,
his boss finally walked over after this 2 weeks and said, you know, you seem to be a good worker. I mean, once you're here and in this spot, you do a marvelous job and all, but you're always late and you always get a cup of coffee. I just don't know what to do about this because I just can't keep this going on. You didn't do this in your previous job. What would your previous employee have said if you did this? And he said, well, actually, I did sometimes. Well, what did they say? Well, when I walk in the door, they'd say, Admiral, do you want coffee and cream today?
Oh. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
I seriously didn't.
Some people are really powerful people.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what we had in this previous story, isn't it?
It is.
Powerful person and yet unassuming at the same time.
Let me tell you a little bit about centurions. Centurions were Roman soldiers, and they weren't the biggest big shots, but they were pretty big. They had command of at least 100 people, at least 100 legionaries, soldiers. And they were often paid double or more.
Makes sense. Responsibility comes then the remuneration.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they were able to give commands to these soldiers who the centurion spoke, the soldier did exactly what he was told.
And if he didn't, he'd be thrown in the stockades
possibly.
Or worse.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this was a big shot, all right.
And he was a Gentile, according to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And usually Jews didn't like Romans.
No.
Let alone a soldier.
Let alone the commander of soldiers.
But here he was. The people were coming to Jesus and say, please do this because he is such a good man. He'd built a synagogue for them and done so many good things. He loved Yahweh. And so Jesus said, fine, I'll come. But, boy, Jesus going to a Roman's house, a Gentile's house, a centurion, that would have mucked it up, wouldn't it?
Yeah, about as much as eating with tax collectors would have.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Here's the centurion. He had lots of power. He could take anybody's life.
Jesus, on the other hand, could give life.
Hmm.
The centurion had command over servants and soldiers.
Hmm. Jesus had command over angels and archangels.
The centurion could build roads, towns, synagogues?
Jesus built the universe, all of creation, including humanity. I wonder, did the centurion realize this, and that's why he said he was unworthy? Or maybe it was because he realized he was a Gentile, and he wasn't therefore worthy to have Jesus come because he was a Jew.
Going into the centurion's house would have made Jesus unclean by Jewish laws. I think the centurion knew this.
After mentioning all these things about the centurion, it brings two things to the front. And one of them you brought up in our discussions before we started recording.
Jesus before was talking about the heart. And what we have here is a mirror image of what he was talking about before. Before, it was the externals that looked right and the internals that were wrong. But here we have the centurion, who is a Roman soldier. Externally, he probably looked pretty frightening and grim and was just not right. But internally, his heart was right where it needed to be.
He didn't look like a Jew. He didn't look like the normal kingdom of God person. But he was. His faith was there. Yeah. And that leads to a second thought. And that is, there are many times people just don't feel like they fit in. I bet the Roman soldier didn't feel like he fit in. Yet he knew that the worship here in Israel was the right one of the right God, and so it was right for him to do. There's a lot of people who want to worship God, want to serve God, but they just don't feel like they fit in. I know people with disabilities many times don't feel like they fit in to a church body, but that doesn't mean they aren't part of God's kingdom. You and I are, because of our hearts looking to the Lord. Boy, a pretty big line here today.
Very long. I hate going to offices like this.
Well, it's where you come to get help.
So they say.
Yeah, what are you here for?
Food stamps. Welfare, if I can get it.
If you can get it.
Which isn't very likely. I never get these things.
Don't you have Social Security?
No, my husband never paid into it.
Oh, so you're a widow.
Yeah.
Did he have a pension, put some away?
We just barely eked out a life, and he died young.
Kids help you?
I don't have any kids. No disability either.
Wow. Boy, you'd think there'd be some sort of help to help people in situations like yourself.
Help? It's easier to raise the dead than get help. Reading from Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding area.
Jesus taught, even as we've heard in the previous lessons, that it's faith and a trust in him as Savior that really matters. and he was willing to go out on the edge to help people who had faith. So he helped and blessed the centurion. So he helped and blessed a widow.
Jesus performed miracles, not only to show the power of God, but because he is God. He shows power over diseases, demons, the winds, and death.
Because Jesus is God and has demonstrated these powers, we can turn to him and trust in him. Trust his word, because he says, even as he did to the widow, having compassion, he has compassion for you and me too. If we can be of help to you in understanding better that care and compassion that Jesus has for you, please do write us.
You can write us at info, at not-alone, not-alone, .net.
And please, please remember that you may feel like you're out on the edge. You may believe that you are an outcast, but you know what? You're not. Jesus loves you. And
we are not alone.
I will lead you who are blind by the ways you have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide you. I will turn the darkness into light before you and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake you. Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Star Trek The Next Generation, Season 2, Episode 17, Samaritan Snare. Interlude musicians, Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn.